What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. And of course, live streaming right now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. There's got to be a way to do Instagram sooner or later, right? I know. I looked into it yesterday. It was a pain in the ass. No. But we can always go live, like from somebody's phone, I guess. But the sound quality would be the only way. Yeah, the sound quality would be shitty. All right, Sturch, Gooch, and of course AJ behind the glass over there for today's very special episode because it is literally 24 hours away from the start of the NFL season. We're excited. I'm excited. I'm starting to get the cold sweats a little bit. The Cowboys are about to start their season first. It is what it is. I'm worried. But again, we got our solve yesterday with, you all right over there, AJ? Grabbing your little rundown. he did it so ever so gingerly. I wish that was on camera. Actually, if we had the wide shot, it would have showed him like doing like a yoga type move. But yesterday was our final draft. NFL, the mock drafts are done. The actual drafts are done. Fantasy football drafts are done. We're here. It's on. And now you just switch on over to the daily fantasy stuff. And if you want to hear all of the nuggets and the news and all that stuff you really need to fill yourself in on, head on over to the Fantasy Guy podcast. I believe he'll be posting again within the week before the, I guess, did you get your, like...
I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Before the game, of course.
Let's get it tomorrow and let's post it tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Let's get that done. We'll definitely work on that. AJ, actually, unless Jimmy Palumbo comes through, AJ will be filling in for me tomorrow. I'm too nervous, so I can't even show up to studio. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, I attend personal matters. But, so last night, had a rage of a party here, okay? And when I say rage of a party, it was me sitting right here, and it was Gooch sitting right on that couch, and we did our drafts, two 16-team leagues. Nobody showed up, which was actually encouraged towards the end of the day. The day was winding down. Even AJ was supposed to be here, and we're like...
I didn't want people to show up and it'd be like four people. It's either going to be a party or it's not going to be anything. I didn't want to host and entertain like three or four people.
Because then we would
be able to go outside, pack bowls when I want.
We would also have to deal with the...
I don't know.
People. No, I'm saying we would also have to deal with our own drafts while hosting, you know, like and trying to live stream.
And there was a lot of aspect of, are we going to go on a live stream? And honestly, when I'm drafting, unless I have a team of people doing the production, right, I don't want to deal with any of it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to worry about my cameras working. I'm worried about losing the internet connection for my draft, let alone for the live stream.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, dude, first of all, 16 teams, bro. That's a rough draft. That's rough. I mean, shout out to the auto drafters out there who I wanted to just punch through you until, you know, I know Bobby, our pitcher on Chop Sports, said he thought the draft was at 8. He was at softball. He gets in there around like round 5.
Yeah, I wanted Antonio Gibson, and the person in front of me, I think it was Travis Ola.
Wasn't there
was auto? On auto draft, and Antonio Gibson was the next guy up, but he was one of those savvy auto drafters that actually queued up his players. So it actually took Najee Harris
over Gibson.
And I was like, holy shit, Antonio Gibson fell to me. But
can we talk about the heist of the century last night? I got the 13th pick, and I know we're not going to go in there and analyze our entire draft. 13th pick in the fantasy football draft out of 16 teams. Who's sitting there winking at me? Mr. No ACLs himself, Saquon Barkley. And I'm like, I'm going to feel dirty when I do this, but I'm like, how does he fall this far? Like, if Saquon Barkley is anything like he used to be, which he could be, there's definitely a chance. In a PPR league, he's, you know, catching a million balls from Daniel Jones because Daniel Jones might not be able to stretch the field with that offensive line.
I'm not in on Saquon at 5.
I'm in on him at 13.
Saquon at 13, when you're picking there in a 16-man league, you got no choice.
Right.
It could end up burning you.
And I still wound up with Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the way back. So excited about that pick. Excited about the entire thing. All the grades came out. All the draft stuff came out. Jimmy Palumbo chiming in. Two grown men talking about their fantasy picks.
You know why
picks.
Jimmy won't talk about his fantasy picks? Because he showed me his team yesterday, and it's hands down the worst team that I've ever seen drafted.
I took Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones.
Draft season is over, so we don't have to talk about our drafts anymore. Now it's just advice going forward. I'm good at.
Yes, the advice will come that season starts. I will say, and I will not be remiss. Oh, I'd be remiss not to mention this at all. We will be cleaning up and not redoing our NFL predictions, but we did go week by week, which was like, it took a little bit of time yesterday. And even when we were doing it, we were kind of doing it all in the same room. We were just like, hey, where do you got this team at, like, after 8 weeks? And yesterday when AJ made his bold prediction that the Rams would start 9-0, I'm like doing the schedule. I'm like, oh wow, wait, hold on. Like, where do the Rams get a loss? Like, holy shit. But we'll get into that. But I first have to shout out my favorite baseball player of all time. I'm sure a lot of people's favorite baseball players of all time, especially if you're a fan of the New York Yankees and you're
Jeets.
Jeets. Derek Jeter getting into the Hall of Fame today.
Big day for Yankee fans, even though we can't win a fucking game. Yeah,
don't get me started about the actual team. At this point, I'm just like, the win for now is him being in the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm not even going to talk about the team. We lost what's-his-face yesterday to tightness in his hamstring.
We actually have Chop Sports representation at the Hall of Fame induction today.
Do we? Who's over there?
Hawaii Mike took the trip.
Hawaii Mike
is on the East Coast. He's trying to do a little meetup, but...
Oh, no.
As of now, he's in Cooperstown.
Oh, that's cool, though. You got some representation over in Cooperstown. I've been. Have you ever been?
No.
I've been twice. I went once with my best friend, John. His dad took us up there. We actually went for Nolan Ryan's induction because he was a big, God rest his soul, his father, massive, massive Nolan Ryan fan. So we went for his induction. And then my dad took me and my brother and my next door neighbor, Bobby, and his father. We went up there. It wasn't an induction time, just to kind of go see the museum. It's badass, bro. There's so much stuff. There's so much stuff to see up there. So if you ever have a chance.
I've been to the one Hall of Fame that actually matters.
NFL?
It's the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, that one doesn't matter at all. I want to get to Canton, definitely, before I bite the bullet. I definitely want to go to Canton, Ohio, see the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see all the busts in there. But yeah, Jeter gets into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, like off the top of your head, like there's obvious moments, you know, that you're like, that's my favorite Jeter moment. Do you have one like that's like stands out at you? I mean, there's so many. He's gotten over 3,000 hits. You know what I mean? Like,
one that stands out, not really one particular one. It's just every time Jeter came up in a spot where you expected him to do something big, he did it. There's so many. My favorite, I don't know, it's probably something basic, like the double he hit in the 2003 Game 7 against the Red Sox. The double that kind of started off the rally to bring the Yankees back in the Aaron Boone game.
Was that the Mr. November game? Was it?
No. It was just a double.
That was a homer.
It was just a regular double, opposite field, that one hop to the wall.
This is going to sound...
started the rally. I don't know. Just little things like that. Jeter always came through.
You know, as much as it's... There's so many milestones for Derek Jeter, but I like one of the last ones. One of the ones that you'll remember because it's more recent, but his 3,000th hit with a home run over Tampa Bay. I remember where I was when it happened. I was at Tiki Bar on the beach.
I was actually at the game, on my way to the game before that game. And it rained out. I was at the stadium and it rained out.
Oh, wow. You would have been there.
To the game. It got canceled. And the next day he hit it.
Yeah. I was at Tiki Bar. I was watching the game on my phone, like via like the GameCast thing. And every time Jeter was close, I would run back. I wasn't at Tiki Bar. I was at like Jenks Beach. And then I would run into Tiki Bar to watch all of his at bats. And when it happened, I remember just being so freaking excited for that. And being that it was a home run, my God, doesn't get any better than that. But yeah, Jeets gets in. He was unanimous.
I got to mention Jimmy Palumbo's comment about Tony Fernandez getting hurt. That's a classic case of being Wally Pipp because he never got his job back. Jeter comes up, and then the rest is history, a Hall of Fame career later.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? There was never – he did catch some shit in the early going of his career. Like, hey, man, pump the brakes on your nightlife, you know, because you never know who's watching and this and that. But after that, squeaky Mr. Clean, man. Like,
honestly, I don't think he ever listened. Jeter never really pumped his brakes on the night.
I mean, are
he
we talking?
Did his thing throughout his career.
I would kill for one of those gift baskets.
Dave, pause.
I hope everybody knows what I'm talking about. If you're a Jeter fan, like literally,
of course,
any girl that he would bring to the home, or to his place of living, he would send them away with a gift basket.
That is a home, the place of living.
I'm just saying he could be on the road. You know what I mean? Like place of being, like the hotel. But yeah, he would send them away with a gift basket, signed baseballs. Oh man, Jeter's a goddamn legend, and today he gets his due. He's going into the Hall of Fame. So yeah, Jeets, get yourself I would assume it's a afternoon or evening type celebration, so I definitely want to check that out. Maybe we can watch it here if we're here. But yeah, so anyway, there is nothing on my person that I care more about than my hair and beard. It's the moneymaker. I need it mint. The only person I trust right now is John over at Main Street Barbershop in Metuchen. John has been at this game for 7 years and offers premier haircuts, complete bald head shaves, shape-ups, beard trims, the works. You can follow Main Street Barbershop on Instagram at MainStreetBarber_Metuchen, and you can book an appointment by downloading the Booksy app or call John directly at 732-569-2592. Tell him Chop Sports sent you. All right, so we're one day away. What's up, G? I hold you, Jeet. What's up, AJ?
As a resident Jeet, it's 1:30. The induction ceremony is taking place.
Oh, word. Okay, so
right
we
on time. We'll talk about that after. But okay. No, we got to mention at least one more guy.
I was going to say there's some other guys here too.
Oh, are there?
I'll let AJ mention the other guys, but my other guy that I'm worth mentioning is Larry Walker, one of the most underrated players. I guess he's not underrated anymore.
He bro, that
hall.
Team.
But Larry Walker had some crazy seasons, and I know it was in the midst of the steroid era. But I'm not sure if you look at his career, I don't think he was one of those guys that was on the
bro
the gear, we'll call it.
Bro, yeah, but bro.
Larry Walker had some monster seasons.
There was a video game. I forget which video game it was, a baseball game, but like if you were the Rockies, forget it. Because you had Larry Walker, you had Dante Bichette, you had what was the first baseman? Andres Galarraga? Is that a name?
It was a name. He was on the team at some point.
But
or
I'm
another,
saying but all of those guys, all on one team. Not Helton, because that was a different era. But dude,
no, Todd Helton was on. Oh yeah, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean that
Galarraga,
that team
was on Arizona.
Used to crush the ball, and in that atmosphere where like the air is thinner and the balls travel faster and farther. But Larry Walker, who else is going in there? AJ,
we got Mr. Ted Simmons.
Ah, no idea. But go ahead.
Same here, bro. And we also got Mr. Marvin Miller.
Another one at a legend, probably.
Jimmy Palumbo saying if he shows up on Thursday to do the live show with me, that you're going to get Wally Pip, Dave.
Oh, okay.
It'll be your last episode.
As Jimmy's listening to this, I hope he appreciates the fact that I went out of my way to promote his own podcast today on his Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I did that. I went the extra mile, and I'm not Wooden Spoon, and I have things to do, and I'm trying to build everybody's podcast at one time. But, Jimmy, you just get that VIP treatment at all times. But anyway, love you to death, bro. It is NFL redo day. Basically, what we did over the last like 20 some odd days, 26, 27 days, is that we took like shots in the dark as far as the records are concerned of all the NFL teams, division winners, stuff like that. But we didn't really match it up. We didn't really match up. Like if a team is 17-0, there's got to be a shit
basically,
team too.
We just took the over under on win basically. Total and kind of said over or under and gave a loose record prediction. But when if you look at our record predictions,
they won't line
they're
up.
They're not going to line up with the amount of wins.
Correct.
That you need in an NFL season.
Correct. So
we kind of had to clean it up a little bit to make it legit.
We took the time out yesterday and actually went game by game, week by week, and started to do our actual game predictions.
This is where Kyle Kerms of the Sauce Network starts to trash us a little bit.
That's
fine. Or co-sign what we're saying.
I'm with it. I'm with all the smoke. I'm ready for it. So basically, we'll start in the AFC East. We'll work our way around. We'll get the records down and who we think's coming out of it. And then obviously the playoffs are here. We'll pick our Super Bowl champion here today. So you're probably listening to this and you're like, well, it's probably obvious of who these guys are picking to win the Super Bowl. It might be. It might not be. But just hang with us.
I mean, it's definitely. I don't give a shit. No spoiler alert. It's whatever you want. The Packers are winning the Super Bowl. I'm saying that. They represented the NFC twice in the championship. NFC championship. It's time to get over the hump.
Yeah. All right. Well,
show's over. That's it.
Anyway, we'll get back to it as we start with the AFC East. We'll start at the top or bottom. AJ, how do you have the AFC East finishing out? We'll give you your due. I mean, you put in the work too. So what do you got? Start at the top. Screw it.
For the AFC East, I have the Buffalo Bills at the top, 13-4. That's followed by the Patriots at 10-7. Then the Dolphins at 9-8 and the Jets at 7-10. I think it's going to be a pretty competitive division, you know, and the Jets surprise a few people.
Okay. Gooch?
I got Bills, Pats, Fins, Jets, and the Bills are going to have, I wouldn't say an easy time with the division, but there's one game late in the season where they're going to be a game ahead, and they're going to win that game, and then the last 2 weeks is going to be a cakewalk.
All right, so the Bills win the AFC East officially. What do you got them finishing at record-wise?
Oh, I didn't write down my records. I have them here. 12-5.
12-5.
You need me
Buffalo
to give
Bills.
Everybody's record?
Well, no. I mean, you'll have to. I'm just, you know, whatever.
12-5, and then New England 11-6.
Okay. My only surprise out of this, I got the Bills winning the division 13-4. 13-4. So they're going to have a hell of a year. And I got them as the 3 seed. So just imagine how good the AFC is going to be if they got them at the 3 seed. Miami Dolphins, I got them finished in 10-7. The New England Patriots, I have them finishing in 9-8. But then the shocker of all this is the New York Jets. I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm going to say that the New York football Jets, gangrene, and Zach Wilson finish 8-9, which is, to me, that gives them a hell of a season under Robert Saleh. No?
I'm saying the Jets are going 4-13.
All right, so we have a measly 4-game difference between us when it comes to the New York Jets. All right, AJ, AFC North, what do you got after doing them all over again?
AFC North. So for the AFC North, I have the Ravens finishing in first place, 13-4. Mm-hmm. The Browns finishing in second place. This is also going to be crazy, 13-4. And then I have the Steelers with a 9-8 record and the Bengals with a 4-13 record.
Okay. Gooch, similar?
Yeah, probably. I got Baltimore winning the division 13-4. I got Cleveland 12-5, Pittsburgh 10-7. So three teams with 10 wins, three playoff teams coming out of this division, wow. But right. Cincinnati's still nothing on defense. Their offense is high power, but it really doesn't matter unless they're going to be able to block. 3-14 on Cincinnati.
All right. I got the Ravens as the 2 seed in the AFC with a 14-3 record. So, again, remember that. 2 seed, 14-3. So you can imagine where I'm going with the number 1 seed. After the Ravens come the Cleveland Browns, 11-6. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, not that good out of me. They're 9-8 in my book. And, of course, that division rounds up with the, the Cincinnati Bengals. I was a little bit more gracious to the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow and that offense is going to be relatively good to win a couple close games. Maybe the defense needs work, but I'm going to give them a 6-11 season. I know that's not like, it's not like breaking news or I'm not like totally going out on a limb here, but I think the Bengals will finish 6-11. So head out south. AJ, what do you got?
Okay. So in the South, I have a bit of a surprise here. I have 2 teams finishing at 1-16, the Texans and the Jaguars. Both Yikes. Of their wins will be against each other. They're that garbage. Okay. I don't believe in Urban Meyer for 1 second. I don't believe in David Culley and that entire roster for 1 second. I think they're both going to be quite garbage this year. Colts are going to start off the season to struggle, but I think they're going to have a nice end of the season kind of, breeze that they kind of build off of. And they gather 9-8 record, miss the playoffs, though. And then Titans aren't as dominant as some people think. They finish 10-7.
All right, Gooch.
I got Titans, Colts, Jacksonville, and the Texans. Titans 12-5, Colts 9-8. Jacksonville 3-14, and the Texans are not winning a fucking game all year. They have nobody on that roster, and anybody that they have on that roster is seemingly on the block. So if you need a back, if you need a mediocre starter because they don't have any good ones, you could probably find them with the Texans for a very shitty draft pick.
All right, very
simple. They just traded a corner today to the Saints.
They're just really dishing off all their assets.
Something Roby.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I know Roby. Okay. Not Roby Coleman.
Brandon Roby.
Oh, okay. The Tennessee Titans, 12-5, will take the AFC South. Finishing up after them would be, as I look up and down this thing, it's like so hard to follow. The Colts, I don't think are much right now, even with the Carson Wentz in there. I got them finishing 7-10. I know that's relatively low. That sauce will definitely eat that one up.
We all have them still going under the 10 win total that the sauce is so adamant that they're going to reach 10 wins. Correct. Or even 11.
Correct.
Because I think they need 11 to
cover. I do, for whatever reason, have the Jacksonville Jaguars winning 6 games. I'm not saying it's an Urban Meyer thing, but I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a little bit better than we all. Like, he's being heavily touted, but I think that we all are going to be in for a rude awakening with Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's going to drop some dimes. He's going to put up some numbers. And I think they win 6 games. Again, it's not good, but it ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? And I just
fucking hate Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I know. He's not very likable. He's got a hateable, punchable face. He really does.
Until I see some success in the NFL, I got to see more, man. The head coach is so important. And when you're talking about a team that has a losing culture anyway, let's see what he's about.
All right. And then, obviously, I got that division wrapped up with the Houston Texans also 0-17. They will not win a football game, according to me.
Kyle saying that I must have been passing the THC vape around before recording because the Colts are not going. First of all, I had them at 9-8. Dave had them less.
I had them at 7-10. Come
and
get me.
And I definitely Kyle, don't I want like the smoke, THC Kyle. Vape. I smoke flower, bro.
Also, Kerms, I want all the smoke right now because what receivers do the Colts have? I don't believe in
Michael Pittman Jr. is my guy.
When we get to my most improved player, we'll get to the Colts receiver.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All right, bro. I still don't believe.
Jonathan Taylor also running the rock. That's not a bad thing. But again, they probably won't win a lot of games. AFC West. Go ahead there, AJ. What do we got?
You almost had an aneurysm.
Kansas City at what record?
So we got the Chiefs at 14-3. Broncos as my kind of sleeper playoff team at 10-7. Chargers at 10-7, and Raiders at 4-13.
All right, Cooch, what do you got?
I got the Chiefs going 16-1 in that shithole division that they play in. The Chargers, Denver, and Oakland. Even though I do have the Chargers sneaking into the playoffs as the seventh wild card and starting off really slow but kind of gaining their steam as the season goes along, I think Eckler is a big important part of their success. If he could stay healthy, you're going to see a pretty dynamic offense out of – well, really, I guess you could say with Keenan Allen's got to stay healthy as well. But, yeah, Chiefs, Chargers, Denver, and Oakland. Oakland has potential to be in the top five
Vegas.
Of the draft. Vegas.
And it's written Oakland on this thing.
I say that they're guaranteed to be in the top 10 of the draft. I don't really see much out of that division this year. But the Chiefs are going to win a lot of games. 16-1 for the Chiefs.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you guys right now, bold-faced right now, that the Kansas City Chiefs will not lose a football game in 2021. They are going 17-0, first team to do it, first season to have 17 games. They're not losing a game. I thought to myself, maybe they'll trip up at the end. I think they end the season with Denver, right? And I was like, oh, they'll rest their starters. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. If you're one win away from being the first team to ever do 17-0, maybe you won't rest your starters and you win that game too. So the Chiefs finishing 17-0.
If they're about to be 17-0,
mm-hmm.
just by the logistics of it, by the last two games, they would have to not rest their starters because potentially they'll if they're 15-0,
yeah, right.
They probably don't need week 16 or 17 or 18 either. So
yeah, well, I think they run the table hard. And then I got a surprise, not a surprise. I've been touting about these guys the whole time. Los Angeles Chargers 11-6, finishing second. The Raiders, I agree. They're in for some, you know, a tough year. I got them at 5-12, and I'm missing a team. I'm missing a team.
Denver.
The Denver Broncos. Sorry, the Denver Broncos. I have at actually above them at 7-10. So those are our AFC picks. We'll shift it on over to the NFC before we get into the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of you can do your over under bets based off us because we'll win you some money. So start with the NFC. Start with the NFC.
We have no history. That is a disclaimer. Do not pick these picks, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
We have done no analytics.
You want to win? You want to pay your mortgage off this year? This is the chance to do it. You listen to us. We got it. We're your guys.
I don't know if they're getting much to go off of if we're like, it's not like we're like coming up with one and being like, look, we discussed it and this is what we came up with collectively.
If they listen to the game preview, I mean, to the team previews, they'll know why we chose certain things. So you can go back and listen to those on our podcast feed here on the podcast network. So we're going over to the NFC East. AJ, make me happy. Go ahead.
Well, that's not going to happen. Number one in the NFC East is the Washington football team at 12-5.
12 games and the Washington football team, you're high already. Go
that
ahead.
Defense is that good.
Nah, I don't
Dallas
know about
Cowboys
that.
Still very solid this year, though, at 11-6. New York Giants finish in third place with an 8-9 season, and the Philadelphia Eagles have a stinker for themselves, 3-14.
All right, Gooch, I know you're going to follow suit. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Skins, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. So the Redskins I also have at 12-5.
The Washington football team. Right. And they've actually narrowed their team names down to 8 today. I listened to them.
So Washington football team, Dallas. Dallas I got at 9-8. I think they have a pivotal matchup with the Saints midseason, and the winner of that game gets in. I think the Saints beat them. So, yeah, Giants are – Danny Dimes can't hold the football. Saquon, the injury potential, the offensive line is shoddy. But the Giants defense I do like, so we'll see about that division. I think that there's that division has potential for to be real close again all year.
Yeah, probably.
Now, they play each other all at the end of the year, like the round robin with the NFC.
Almost,
East.
Yeah.
We got a good one from the
I think Giants season. And Dallas will have a potential showdown late in the season to see who gets in the playoffs as a second wild card if the Saints shit the bed, but... third wild card, I should say.
Okay.
Because there's seven
all
games
right.
now. But
where do you got Philly at? Did you say what you had Philly at? As far as record-wise?
5-12.
5-12. All right. Well, I'm the only realist here when it comes to the NFC East. I know I'm like the back of my hand, back of both of my hands. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys to win. I almost changed this up. You know what? I can't because I went week by week, so there's got to be a difference. I got the Cowboys in this prediction 12-5. I got them winning 12 games in this prediction. Yesterday, I dropped my All About the Star podcast, had them at 11 wins. So it's around that 11-12 wins mark. The 12 wins will get it done. Finishing second behind them is a 10-win team, and I think that's where the Washington football team could hover around, a 10-win, 9-win season. I got them winning 10. The New York Giants, who I said over and over again, were an improved team. Take it for what it's worth. I'm giving the Giants 6 wins, and I think I'm being generous, but they're going to be in a lot of competitive games. I think they're going to play good, and I think their defense is going to show up, but I think that offensive line, man, you need one. You need an offensive line to function in this league. And then I got the Philadelphia Eagles. Ladies and gentlemen, I got them under Jalen Hurts, 2-15. 2 wins for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mark that down. The Eagles' defense is bad. Their offensive line is old. Jalen Hurts, his confidence has been kicked in the dick over and over again. The Eagles are in disarray. New head coach, he's going to struggle. So, NFC North over AJ.
I don't know what the Kerms are saying in the comments. It's rather distracting, though.
It's fine.
Kerms, how about you stop with the fire? Ceasefire, bruv. Okay.
So, ceasefire.
Ceasefire, bruv. I can't concentrate. Oh, we got the Green Bay Packers I have up top with 12-5. I have them as a really bad division this year. Let me clarify. I got Chicago Bears in second place at 5-12. Swear on God, brother.
All right.
I got the Minnesota Vikings at 4-13 and the Detroit Lions at 0-17.
Detroit Lions are also winless. Okay.
Yep.
Gooch?
I'm also going to say, Kyle, do not stop. No ceasefire, because that's the whole point.
Yes.
Right? We want you to comment.
Just get away from the comments there, AJ. I mean, for a little while.
Right,
if it's going to distract you, don't worry about it.
But
I'll let you know.
Packers are winning the Super Bowl.
Packers are winning. Okay, well, anyway, go ahead with your division.
So the Packers are going to go 14-3.
Okay.
And they're going to win the division. The Vikings, 8-9. Bears, where do I got the Bears at? 7-10. And the Lions are 0-17. They're not winning a game.
I, too.
Two teams this season will go winless.
That's I do.
Survivor pools are going to be loaded at the back end of the season this year.
Because everybody's just going to pick against them. I like it a lot. Kyle's the man. You think I was going to stop because he asked me to? I smell blood in the water, he said. Love it. This is why we do these live shows. All right, so anyway, the Green Bay Packers, I'm in lockstep with the other two of you guys. 13-4 will get them the 2 seed. And then I have, actually, believe it or not, I have the Bears finishing second at 7-10. So, yes, the Packers will win this division by 6 games. I'm not a big fan of the Minnesota Vikings at all this year. I got them at 5-12. 5-12 Minnesota Vikings. That can go either way.
The Vikings have a really good roster.
They do, but I just...
Kirk Cousins.
Again, I have hard games on the road.
And they have a pretty good coach.
I like Zimmer.
Zimmer's a good coach.
Trust me.
I just don't see it that bad unless injuries decimate that team. They have good parts. They're not really exceptionally great on the offensive line, but they're not bad either.
Yeah, we'll see. And also, I agree with you. There will be 2 winless teams in the NFL this year, both Texans and the Lions, and they're going to have to either flip a coin or strength of schedule or something to determine who's going to have the number one pick next year. So now we shift it on over to we got a Vikings prediction out of Ben Wexler. Said they got a good defense. They're going to go 9-8. Listen, I'm
at 8-9. I'm okay with 9-8.
Yeah, you're right there. Winless teams, undefeated teams. Stop, Jimmy Palumbo. All right, well, sorry to hear that you don't agree with us, but you also have called Saquon Barkley Saquon about 14 times. Now I deem you irrelevant when it comes to your football knowledge. Kidding. But, all right, NFC South, head on over, AJ. What do you got?
NFC South, they got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers leading over there, 14-3. Then I have the Saints following suit with a nice 10-7 season. I think they struggle early, but have a nice back end of that season. I have Carolina Panthers in third place with a 6-11 record. And then I have the Atlanta Falcons, 4-13.
Gooch.
Tampa Bay, 14-3. Saints, 9-8. They beat Dallas mid-season to get that tiebreaker.
I got that as a loss for Dallas, so go ahead. No, I'm not worried about it.
Carolina, Atlanta. Carolina's going to win 7 games, and Atlanta's going to win 5.
All right. Barkley was drafted in 1989. I too, have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 15-2. One of their losses comes tomorrow night, live in front of the entire world. But then they just go on a tear and they just beat the shit out of everybody. And then after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, believe it or not, I have a sneaky, sneaky playoff pick. If you want to get crazy, let's get crazy. Carolina Panthers, 9-8. I think Sam Darnold with a real coach. Matt Rhule is that dude. I'm a big fan of his. I'm a fan of McCaffrey being back healthy. I'm a big fan of that offense. The defense needs some work, but they'll get it done. 9-8. And then I have the New Orleans Saints finishing 7-10 under Jameis Winston. I think there's going to be a lot of big games out of him, but then for every big game, you're going to get one of those stinkers, and he's going to be like, how is this guy our starting quarterback? I think they're going to struggle. So they're going to go 7-10. And then the Atlanta Falcons, after a hard debate with trying to figure out if these guys are going to be any good, I don't see it. I see a big year out of Calvin Ridley because of why, AJ? Inflated numbers. I think there's going to be a lot of passing out of Matt Ryan because the team's going to lose a lot. 2-15. That's a very, very low prediction for the Atlanta Falcons, but I don't think they're any good. And I think they're going to struggle. So NFC West, let's put a bow on this standings thing. Go ahead, AJ.
All right. Probably going to get shot for these predictions because they're a little outrageous. Okey-dokey. But I don't care. I was born in the darkness. So I'm ready for this moment.
Bane.
He did his Bane.
Born in the darkness.
City of Gotham. Anyway.
I got the Los Angeles Rams at 15-2. No fear here.
15-2 for the Rams. All right,
Yes, sir. I got the Seahawks at 12-5. I got the San Francisco 49ers, shocker, at 12-5. And then I have the Arizona Cardinals, 6-11.
Cardinals 6-11. We said it yesterday in the preview that they could be either good or a potential to be bad. So like there's no gray area with the Cardinals. Gooch, what do you got in NFC West?
I got three teams with 10 wins again.
Okay.
So
we said it yesterday, best division in football.
Yeah, where do I got the Rams at? I got the Rams winning the division at 12-5. I got Seattle 12-5 as well. I got San Fran at 11-6, and then 8-9 for Arizona. Three of those teams making the playoffs, obviously.
Nice.
It could go any way.
Okay.
I think I believe in San Fran the least, but Seattle is kind of right there with them because mm-hmm. I think San Fran is a more complete team than Seattle, but just their injury history and things like that, and I'm not sure about Trey Lance. Jimmy G can't stay on the field, and if Trey Lance is elite, then I think that things change a lot in that division.
We'll see how many games that Jimmy Garoppolo gets.
Not a big believer in Kingsbury, which I've been saying all offseason. I'm not sold on the Arizona Cardinals and their head coach.
All right, the LA Rams, I got winning this division at 13-4. I know it sounds bold. I'm not as bold as AJ's, but I do like the Rams. I like that they're probably one of the more complete teams in the NFL. I do like them. Finishing behind them, I do have the San Francisco 49ers at 12-5. They'll get in the playoffs as a wild card. After that, the Seattle Seahawks, I got them at 8-9. I think this is the year that their defense being bad catches up to them a little bit, and Super Russ, Mr. Unlimited. He doesn't get anything done towards the end of the year because of the defense being so bad. So they're going to be 8-9. And of course, finishing last in this division will be the Arizona Cardinals at 7-10. So before we get to the playoffs, I'm going to switch it up a little bit because a lot of these awards are given. They're all actually given based off the regular season, correct? So let's give some awards out for this year, and then we'll go back to the playoffs. So AJ, we'll give you yours first. There's your award winners are on the screen. Explain yourself with these 8 awards that we've chosen.
Explain myself. Okay, so with the Rams having a 15-2 record, I believe that's basically ponied up on behind Matthew Stafford. I think he's going to be a huge asset for them this year. He needs to take the next step, and I think he will with his offense. Sean McVay is an offensive genius. I love him with the value for MVP. Jameis Winston is a guy that's gotten a lot of flack his entire career, but if you looked at his play, he literally couldn't see out there. He was squinting half the time. He's got his LASIK. He's going to have Michael Thomas back week 5. I like Jameis Winston for most improved player this year. Zach Wilson, offensive rookie of the year. Everybody was doubting the man going into the draft, but if you look this preseason, he looks poised. He looks like he knows what he's doing. I know it's against twos, but hey, this is all we got to see so far. So I like Zach Wilson. I like the weapons he has. Offensive rookie of the year is definitely in the grasp for him. I have a surprise pick for defensive rookie of the year, and that's Jamin Davis. He is the middle linebacker for the Washington football team with me believing so much in this unit. I think that Jamin Davis is going to play a pivotal role over the middle, guarding tight ends and making sure to stuff the run. Myles Garrett at Defensive Player of the Year, simply put, because that man is an animal on the outside. Patrick Mahomes, Offensive Player of the Year. Chiefs are going to keep on rolling. Dak Prescott is just the give-me player for Comeback Player of the Year. He's going to have a great season. And Sean McVay is going to win Coach of the Year.
All right, AJ, good on your awards. We'll go over now to Gooch. Jimmy, yes, you're calling it. There is Gooch's award winners. Same categories. Explain yourself there, son.
All right. Well, first things first is I didn't even pick a defensive rookie of the year, so who the fuck put Micah Parsons in there?
You didn't freaking pick one.
So instead of texting me, you just put one in?
I don't have time to go text you back and forth like, oh, I need this and then I need that.
I'll leave it in there because I didn't pick one. I think Zaven Collins has a chance. I like your dark horse a lot. But typically it's going to be a guy that's going to be able to
And he's from Penn State. Come on, bro.
He's a Penn State guy, so I'm good on that. But he's going to tackle a lot. He's going to make a lot of tackles. I could imagine him having at least a very similar season to a Blake Martinez where he's going to just be a tackle machine because their defensive line isn't going to stop anybody.
Probably
so,
not. Go ahead.
So he's going to be required to make a lot of tackles, and he's probably the best middle linebacker in the class, obviously. So back to MVP. I got the Chiefs going 16-1. If that's true, if so, be so. Patrick Mahomes has to be the MVP.
Correct.
I see that. Oh, you didn't take it off. Okay. Michael Pittman Jr., the Colts receiver that you were talking about, I think he has a chance to catch 100 balls this year because there's literally nobody else. T.Y. Hilton's out. The rest of the receivers are, I guess, kind of like just slot guys.
He's 6'4".
He had a great showing against the Ravens in the postseason, or was it the Bills? Either way, he had a really good game last year in the playoffs game, in the playoff game that they had, broke 100 yards. So I think Michael Pittman is going to just see an immense target share. And it's, I guess there's a lot of second-year receivers that could fit in here. Like a Jalen Reagor type. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of receivers last year. I think one of those guys are going to make a leap. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go with Javonte Williams. I think it's hard for me to not pick a quarterback, but I don't see any of these teams with the wins. So if I'm going to go with the low win totals for these guys, I have a hard time giving Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson the MVP. There's some receivers that I would consider, but when you're looking at the receivers, you got a guy like Justin Jefferson last year. He had 1,400 receiving yards, and he didn't even win Rookie of the Year. Yeah. So it went to a quarterback, but I don't like the quarterback. So I'm going to go with my Javonte Williams fantasy pick.
Yeah.
I think he has potential to be this year's Cam Akers. And in the second half of the season, they have a really, really cupcake schedule. So there's potential for him to do big things when it matters most for that team down the stretch against a weak schedule. So I'm just going to go with Javonte Williams on that. Plus, I like UNC.
No,
Devin White, I think, is the best player, arguably, on the defensive side of the ball in the whole league. Devin White is the fastest linebacker I've ever seen. There's other guys that you could consider. Darius Leonard, the Colts.
Yeah, middle Mr. linebacker.
Moneybags. He's probably the most unheralded player in the NFL. Nobody really talks about him, but he is an absolute machine on defense. And if we're talking IDP, individual defensive players in fantasy football, that's your guy for sure.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, comeback player of the year. I don't think it's as big of a gimme. I think he's going to get it because he's a quarterback, but their CMC is out there as well. What am I missing here?
You skipped over your offensive player of the year, but that was kind of a given.
Yeah, offensive player of the year is just by default because Patrick Mahomes is winning 16 games, so my boy Aaron Rodgers can't run it back on the MVP. But you did skip comeback player of the year on here, did you?
No, you just said Dak Prescott.
You tripping, bro.
Most improved.
Yep, you got everything.
I said
there.
Pittman. I wanted to go with Winston, too, but I saw your graphic. And the reason why I wanted to do it is because I wanted to lick my fingers on camera. But I'm not even on camera, so I'm almost glad that I don't got to do it.
Good, thank God. And your coach of the year?
Andy Reid, because 16-1.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. All right.
Cool. I know I bounced all over the place, but
nah, it's all good. Don't worry about it. All right.
Great.
Throw me a little. Throw me a softball here, so I can hit it like Jimmy Palumbo.
Not sativa today.
So all right. So my MVP, obviously, if you're going to go 17-0, you're going to go and get yourself another MVP. So that's Patrick Mahomes. My most improved player, based off of location, going from Detroit to LA. I think Matt Stafford's going to have himself a phenomenal year with that offense. He finally has a team around him. Offensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. Like I said, I gave the Jets 8 wins. So the Jets being 8-9, they got to get it from somewhere. I think Zach Wilson's going to give them that swag, that moxie that you're going to need in New York, because Sam Darnold just didn't possess it, and it wasn't all because of coaching. He just didn't seem like a, you know, if you're in New York, you need a personality. Sam Darnold was very Eli, you know, like very doop doop doop. You know, same thing with Daniel Jones. I think you need some swag, and I think Zach Wilson's the guy. He wins Rookie of the Year. Of course, Micah Parsons, I'm going to go with Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's a tackling machine. The Cowboys defense absolutely needs somebody to step up this year at the linebacker position. Last year, that play was abysmal, and it was because Jalen Smith stinks, and it was because Leighton Vander Esch was hurt. You know, so they addressed it big. They traded back in the draft. The Giants made another mistake. We wind up with Micah Parsons, and I think he wins Defensive Rookie of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year, it's almost like a layup for me. I think Chase Young is going to take yet another step. He's already looking like an Aaron Donald, like a Jace, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that this is Chase Young's big year to come out, sack a lot of quarterbacks, get to the quarterback, just cause all sorts of hell in the backfield. And I think he, you know, makes it kind of, you know, gives himself a solidified Defensive Player of the Year. Offensive Player of the Year, I think this is the last dance for the Green Bay Packers as a whole together. I think Green Bay, it depends on this, you know, the end result, but I think, you know, you're going to get very angry Aaron Rodgers right now. You're going to get angry. This entire offense, I think, is just, you know, they were tired of getting shit talked all year long because of the Aaron Rodgers thing. I think Rodgers is going to play some angry football, and I think he's going to put up some big, big numbers. The layup for me is Dak Prescott coming back off that ankle injury. Yes, there are cases to be made about CMC, Saquon Barkley, guys like that that are coming back that should be okay too. But if the Cowboys are going to go from where they were to where they are, to where they go this year, it's going to be because
where you say they're going to go.
Or where I say they're going to go.
If so, be so.
Well, here's the thing. Even if they win 10 games, I gave them 12. Even if they win 9 games. Remember, last year they won 6. So to give a 3-game difference because of the quarterback play, you got to give it to Dak Prescott. That's where I'm at. I just think
that CMC has a chance to go 1,000-1,000. If he does that and the Dallas doesn't make the playoffs, there's a chance that he sneaks in. But I can't even
argue with that. My coach is a little bit off the wall here. I'm not going to go with the obvious. I know it sounds dumb, because considering if I think the Chiefs are going 17-0, how the hell?
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. No, how the hell would you pick anybody else?
I saw McDermott, not Andy Reid.
I think what happens is with the Buffalo Bills, the story that they have, a lot of people are talking regression. I think he keeps the pedal to the metal, and I think the Bills win the AFC East again, and I think they get to the AFC title game again, and I think that this team, Josh Allen, their running game is even better than they were last year with one more year under Moss. I think this team might even start slow.
So you just mentioned a bunch of things that will put him in the conversation, but if the Chiefs go 17-0,
yeah, I know. It makes no sense. It doesn't really add up, but I'm going to go with Sean McDermott. I like him, like defensive-minded coach. I've liked him since the jump, and I think, you know, I think big things for the Bills this year.
He gets zero votes if Andy Reid goes undefeated.
Yes, 100% agreed. So you can take down my goddamn award winners. So that's the award winners, and now I know this is the reason why you're all tuning in right now. It is now time for the playoff picks and our Super Bowl champions.
Brought to you by Absolute Eyewear.
Brought to you by Absolute Eyewear by Craig and Janine. Go see those guys. $100 off if you say the phrase Chop Sports to go get all of your eyeglasses, your frames, your just everything, your goggles, sports goggles. They got all the greatest brands in the world right on Main Street. Go over there. Check out Craig and Janine at Absolute Eyewear. So now here we go. The obvious of the obvious. No, I'm kidding. Let's go, AJ. There is your playoff bracket. Explain yourself.
Okay, so hopefully this will give a lot less people aneurysms than my actual records prediction. So here we go. I got the Ravens. Let me clarify, by the way. Before I said the Ravens and the Browns were 13-4, I have them as 14-3.
Okay.
Even more nuts. Yes. Ravens, number one. Chiefs, number two. So the Ravens get the bye. Chiefs are going against the Broncos. I think the Chiefs get the win there. The Bills go against the Patriots. Bills get the win in that one. And the Browns get an upset over the Titans in Tennessee. So then with the receding, the Ravens will go against their division rival Browns. And I think the Browns are going to win that one in a surprise upset. I also believe that the Chiefs roll over the Bills.
I'm having a stroke trying to
it's so hard. Bracket, it's bro, this is how the real bracket is, though. How do
no,
you
because
to do
I
it?
Just think that you should have put the Chiefs on the bottom.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Keep going.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for doing this, AJ. God. Keep going.
Yeah, this only took hours. okay. So then I have the Chiefs winning that one. Chiefs go ahead and play the Browns in the AFC Championship game, and the Chiefs win that one. Let's go to the other side. Rams have the bye. The Buccaneers go against the Cowboys. Bucks win that one. Sorry, Dave. Mm-hmm. The Washington football team go against the 49ers, and the 49ers get an upset in that one due to playoff experience. And then the Packers get a nice victory over the Seahawks. Then, with the reseeding, the Rams go ahead and they play the division rival Niners. The Rams beat up on them. The Packers will have a nice rematch from last year's NFC Championship game and come away victorious this time because Aaron Rodgers is on a revenge tour. Then, the Packers will play the Rams in the NFC Championship game in Los Angeles, and the Packers are yet again going to come away with the victory. Packers versus Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I think the Aaron Rodgers completes the revenge tour, possibly even retires after this year. Champs, Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl MVP, Aaron Rodgers goes out on top.
Oh, baby. All right. Well, let's bring it on over to Gooch, where we know where the frick he's going. So go ahead. Let's see here.
I'm going to try and clean it up and not make it his run-on because I know that this could get jumbled. Trying to follow it. All right. So Chiefs, Packers, Super Bowl. Packers win. Aaron Rodgers MVP, which I also didn't pick my Super Bowl MVP, but I agree with this one, Aaron Rodgers. Only he's not going to retire. He's going to run it back and repeat. So I agree with AJ. I don't want to go through everything. You guys all know my playoff teams. As far as I can't really follow the way AJ the bracketing, I don't want to go through each game. Go NFC and AFC championships. Chiefs, Ravens, Chiefs win. Packers, Rams, and the Packers win.
And I don't see the Cowboys anywhere in that
playoff.
No,
the Cowboys are missing the playoffs.
The Cowboys are missing the playoffs. Okay.
Saints are going to sneak in at that third wild card spot, seventh seed.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's how I see it going down.
Okay, well, you're you're a buffoon on that one. But anyway, bring up the real predictions here, and that's mine. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chiefs are the one seed over there. The Bucks are the one seed in the NFC. The stories here, I can go, you can follow it as you go, but the AFC Championship game, the Bills are going to get back and they're going to play the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are ultimately going to win that game. The only upset in the AFC I see is that the Dolphins are in the playoffs. That's a feel-good story, but they lose. That's the only really big upset over there. If you go over to the NFC bracket, the Cowboys are going to be the 4 seed. I think that they'll win. They'll play the 49ers in the first round, in which I know myself and Carl won't be on speaking terms, or me and my boy Greg will not be on speaking terms. But the Cowboys will beat the 49ers in the first round. Now, that's the story in the bugaboo, is that the Cowboys have not made it past the divisional round of the playoffs since 1995. So that's been a thing. This is where it gets tricky. I got the Cowboys winning tomorrow night against the Buccaneers in Tampa, and then I got the Cowboys winning in January in Tampa Bay, where it's nice out and it's not cold. The Cowboys beat Tom Brady twice this year to get to their first NFC championship game since 1995. That's the big story for me. The rest is kind of written itself. The Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. There's just so much to really like. You just can't pick against Aaron Rodgers this year. After all the shit that he's been through, after all the people talking
until
shit.
Until you get to the Super Bowl, and then you pick against Aaron
Rodgers. In the NFC, he gets to the Super Bowl. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs will not only go 17-0, but they'll also run the table in the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to go 20-0 and win the Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl 20-0. And it's so funny how we're like wrapping up the podcast. Is that wasn't my alarm for the podcast. It's like, wrap it up, Dave. No, but the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. My Super Bowl MVP also is the league MVP, and that's Patrick Mahomes. I feel like this kid's got a lot to prove. He does, he has won a Super Bowl last year. A lot of people talked a lot of shit when that Tampa Bay defense was roughing him up, and I think that's going to put the chip on the shoulder enough for him to run the table. I know that sounds ridiculous in today's world, where a bad bounce of the ball can go one way. You can pull the graphic down now, AJ. But one Jim bad
says Chiefs lose this week now.
Yeah, Chiefs are definitely losing the opener to the Browns. We'll make actually our game picks on Friday's show. Going forward, Football Fridays will consist of some college football preview, some NFL preview. Monday, we'll recap the game. Sunday. Listen, there is limited seating here, obviously, but if you got nowhere to go, you don't want to go to the bar and pay the expensive bar tab, you want to hang out at Chop Studios, come by. We're going to be doing a live stream right here on all of our channels, in which obviously we can't show the games. We can't even listen to the games really online, but we'll be able to give you some critiques. We'll hit you up with some fantasy advice. We'll hit you up with some game picks, because that's the sauce's, you know, that's his bread and butter. That's what's paying his rent at this point, is his picks. But there's a lot in store for Chop Sports right now. And yesterday was a big day. We signed our lease. So now this place is ours. And we feel like it's the next step in this process of growing this business. So we're excited that you guys hung on. We want to appreciate, thank and appreciate all of you guys for watching this show. Download the podcast if you haven't listened to it, or you want to catch up to it, or just rewind this video. Whatever you guys want to do. But thank you for supporting Chop Sports and everything that we're doing.
Gooch. And I'd be remiss to not mention, if you guys didn't notice, there was the lack of an aggressor in the comment section today. Ashley is no longer being able to watch the live show because she started her new job in the city. Congrats.
So shut up.
So shut up, everybody. But now I'm sure that when she's working remote, which is going to be a lot of the case, but it's her first day, so she had to go in. Maybe she'll still be able to watch, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, congrats, Ash. Good job.
You know what's funny?
New job.
You know, it's funny. She was replaced on the aggression part by Kyle Kerms today.
Kyle brought,
so now there's going to be a little bit of a butting heads thing.
Heat.
Kyle brought the smoke, and I'm loving it, and I loved every second of it.
It's that hot sauce.
Keep doing it, and thank you, Ben, for the old F the Cowboys. We get it. It just must suck. It must suck being a New York Giants fan. But anyway, with that being said, for Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ from the couch, he's not even from the couch, he's behind the glass, but I will shout out AJ. Thank you, my man, for all those graphics. You made all these graphics work really cool.
Picked them apart.
It's all right. Gave everybody a visual, and I really appreciate the hard work. We'll get these things ironed out, and and Jimmy Palumbo has started an Ashley chant. So congratulations to Ashley on her new job. I know you're going to flourish over there.
I don't know if I took that. I didn't read that as a chant. I read that as like, oh, shut the fuck up. You're talking about your girlfriend on.
Oh, no.
See, I took it more as Ashley. Like Ashley.
Oh, you took it as Marsha.
Ashley.
I think we said her name more in this last 3 minutes of this podcast than ever before. So, again, good luck. But thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, AJ, I would have helped you on the graphics, but I got stuck in a rabbit hole talking about Joe Matarese's son's freshman football team for 40 minutes on a business call.
Yeah, I heard they play Bishop Sycamore.